Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do, and you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV, ragging them from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany
and this Queen Crazy, your girlfriend, the bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irritation, and you're tuned in to Off the Cuff giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio. The Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
For the greater good, I mean something to the hood. I do this for my people. I'm a black superhero.
A black superhero.
I'm here for the greater good. I mean something to the hood. I do this for my people.
I do this for my people.
I'm a black superhero.
Black superhero. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a blank. It's a super real nigga, I come to give you the game. Making a living, dealing with the criminally insane. Ghetto veteran, everybody know my name. Neighborhood savior, arch enemy, all player haters. My superpower take you and raise you and make you into somebody who don't need nobody to save you. And never again let a player, not as major. I got the flavor that everybody savors. When you a guard, it's only right they praise you. A consumer, I'm a creator, and I know you feel like no one cares, but if you ever need me, I'll be there, hiding my secret identity all these years, boy, don't make me take out these Cartiers.
Here for the greater good, I need something to do, I do this for my people, I'm a black superhero, I'm here for the greater good.
Falling, I hear you calling, out for help, I'm not out for self, I wanna see all my people falling, talking pardon, money a universal language when they talking falling, they're in a nick of time, picture grind, red carpet picture line, upper excellence, I'm from Instagram, lift your head up, stick your chest out, believe you'll achieve, figure the rest out, place your faith in me, I'm a religion, I see what you can be, real nigga vision, say myself first, brought myself out the kitchen, gifted, it, even though Christmas missed us. Who the shit, what, it's me, it's you, it's who, it's us, you only living to die, what you here for, can't buy happiness, respect, nor love, who thinks I never give up or ain't
for? For the greater good, I need something to do, I do this for my people.
I'm a black superhero,
I'm here for the greater good, I need something.
real nigga come and give you some game. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. It's a real nigga come and give you some game.
Revolution won't be televised, but it will be a revolution. And here's the soundtrack.
Black, brown, red, yellow, white, take flight, fuck a red light. Go! I own that Mortal Kombat fight. The power, all them cowards in three-piece suits, denying you your rights. Black path of midnight, they in my sight. Wow. Fooling you to believe you free to choose what we need to do is address all these unfair institutions with pistols, shooting, demanding restitution for me and you, and let them see what me and my people been through. Man, Stevie Wonder ain't even have to open his eyes for him to see it was time to uprise. All the drugs, thugs, hollow tip slugs, Crips and bloods, but ain't enough hugs.
Nah.
And that's the reason for that mean mug. As the sun becomes black and the moon bloody red, everybody won't go heaven, but don't nobody dead. No time for being scared, the revolution has came. Brought by Smackwater, Kayla Mayne, and Kendrick James. With 44 more other soldiers baptized in the streets. Said I'm riding with my niggas, Icy Rush and Tay-Z. So you know I keep 316s of spoken word. I am Caleb Israel, the God,
the slum lord.
Show for certain, I check the alternatives. Your choices have permanence, decipher with discernment. Make sure it's indisputable, impeccably irrefutable. Unmistakably immutable, absolutely indubitable. Unequivocal, undeniable, it's already understood. That secondhand information, we ain't taking it, it ain't good. I say trust me, but verify, affirm and ascertain. It's been weighed and measured, so don't go against the grain.
My nigga, I'm losing, better than shooting. All that shit's insured, my horse bored with boots. Trying winning, we losing. We's better than bruises. Turn a zoony, my goblins get goony. Acting George Clooney. Cause y'all ain't trying to help us. You always kept us. Rape our women. We speak in, y'all check us. Now we wild and reckless. Coming out Houston, Texas. Guard your necklace.
Perpetuating pressure. Politics here is not bliss. Passing a mask in the past. They moving restless. Blasting the gas to harass the protesters. Perplexed cause we stood together, ain't no
father's point, voice of the struggle, this is the soundtrack to the revolution. Hard times, politician lives, constitution wise, no restitution. Got me selling dope, baby, I'm boosting, little bro, raw, sister prostitution. Rap game, institution, all CNI, distribution. Dope game got me insane, tried to get a job to stop confusion. Paid $8 for working on, made an A in math, I'm losing. Now I'm taking gifts, they refusing. Rap game, Huey Newton, equal rights, disillusion. Soundtrack to the revolution.
Slap a Karen, punch a king.
Donald Trump don't like that fucking men. Niggas need to pay attention, learn what we up against. We the ones they wanna get, eliminate them wannabes. Salute to all my ally friends. If you white, you better speak. Disrespect, you better fight. Touch one of us, you better shoot. Use your privilege, motherfucker. Help these brothers get some juice. Time is now. No second guessing. Time to choose right when you choose. See, everybody go when we call them out. And this time around, the brothers won't lose.
Fuck George and Ronald. Mitch McConnell and Donald. I think they lied about Apollo. I think like I am an apostle. Tap into it, it's a message. Listen, you can't see it on the television. This a revolution master. This a retribution bastard.
Yeah, this our reparations. This our mule and our 48.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We in the building right now. Episode 399 of the Live is a Direct Show on the web, representing that true trill hip-hop, that unfiltered hip-hop, that unpolitically correct content, off-the-cuff radio. I'm your host, King Eric, alongside T-Max with the facts.
What it do, what it do. It's another Wild Out Wednesday. OTC is in the building. We are sponsored by DaVinci Clothing, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Core Financial, and Jesse's Boutique. Shout out to our co-host and spirit, a lot of Sam, anybody, Chinchilla, so Illa. It is myself, T-Max, and of course, the head host, the pilot of all of this great, incredible production, King Eric. We on, man. We on.
That's right, man. One episode away from episode 400, and you know we about to start this Wednesday off with a bang, man. This guy here been setting the net on fire with his unfiltered, unpolitically correct, but at the same time humorous and truthful content. He been putting in a lot of work in the studio and got a double album dropping this Saturday. So without further ado, let's introduce the big homie. And y'all better have y'all jaws wired for this one here, because this is some real truth you about to get. My man, Smackwater, y'all.
With it, homie. Y'all already know what it
is. What's going on, man?
Yeah, same shit, different toilet. Yeah, I'm glad to be back with y'all, man. It's been a hot secco since we didn't touch bases.
Yeah, man, and dude, you know, look, last dialogue we had was just totally dope, and there's a lot of stuff that's done happened since then.
Yeah, man, it's been an overload of monkey shit going on.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of layers to be covered, man, but glad to welcome you back to the show, man. A lot been happening since last year. So before we go on, man, you know, to let people know that's been currently following you, man. Tell us about the new project you got going, man, and what can we expect from that?
Oh, man, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a musical journey. You know, it's grown folks, you know, grown folks music. Hopefully youngsters can enjoy it. If you're a person that likes substance, you know, if you like music that talk about something, is the name of the album is Songs in Today's Key of Life. It's an album paying homage, you know, to my favorite artist all time, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
he had an album, Songs in the Key of Life, that came out the year I was born. Very first double album ever in the history of music. You know, it was chock full of hits, chock full of great material. And, you know, Stevie killed the Grammys that year, you know. And, you know, the album is paying homage to him and touching on shit that's going on today at the same time. You know, it's going to run a whole bunch of people high. It's a lot of controversial shit I touch on this app.
Definitely. And one thing about it, Smack, is that, you know, obviously, you know, people have an impression of you, you know, from your YouTube presence. But the reality is you're a lot deeper than what people, you know, will give you credit for. And for you to, with this recent endeavor of a release that you have, definitely, man. You've always been somebody who always had an astute understanding and a comprehensive way of articulating just what's going on out there unapologetically, man. Pretty much, I guess, when we get into the dive of this particular current project you got, what were some of the things out there that you felt you needed to address at large? And you're laughing because I know it's going to be some shit behind it. Let it go. Let it rip.
Yeah. Man, I'm touching on a little bit of everything, man. I got probably the most controversial song on the whole album is probably a song called I Hate Niggas. And, you know, it's just, you know, and it's just touching on our culture and how fucked up we is as a motherfucking people, and, you know, how we just can't get right, and it touches on, like, our skewed views and how we view fucked up shit as good shit, and, you know, how we view good shit as bad shit or sell out shit, and it touches on motherfucker snitching. It touches all. It's just all over the place, man. It just it got a whole bunch of material. It touches on how I speak on how we hustle and we put ourselves in fucked up predicaments just to spend all our money on some expensive clothes by some crackers who don't even give a fuck about you. They could tell you that they hate you, and you go break your motherfucking neck kidding yourself trying to wear their clothes, and they tell you, nigga, fuck you, nigga, I hate you. You know what I'm saying? But you it's like the civil rights movement. The more white folks told niggas no, the more niggas wanted to be by white folks. Nigga, we don't want you stand by next door to us. Nigga, well, we gonna stay by you anyway, massa. You know, so basically that, you know, that's that type of shit. It touches on I speak on the leaders. I speak on everything, man. I speak on how motherfuckers we look up to is really that'll sell us out, be it entertainers, be it politicians. You know, they really put that'll keep us in our motherfucking place. And they'll scream pro-black, all this, pro-black, that, but they just saying that shit just to keep niggas complacent. And as long as they stay in the forefront of niggas, and when, you know, white folks and the system go to pulling the strings, them niggas gonna go to dancing to that tune. But they gonna scream black love, black power, buy black, you know, nigga, spend your money with me. But they basically doing the same thing white folks been doing, exploiting the shit out of a nigga, except it's your own kind doing it. I got a line on it. I say, shit, would you rather see your brother man or the other man rich and famous?
And that's real. I guess we can go ahead and start it off with this level of it, Snap, because what you said about the track I Hate Niggas, that's a playoff of what, you know, Chris Rock said in one of his stand-up routines.
Yeah. Like, I love black people. I hate niggas. That's part of where the idea of the song come from. It's on my album, it's labeled right there because I got 21 songs just like Stevie, and each one of my songs line up with his in a form. It's not exactly like his, but if you know his album, or if you go play his album next to my album, then you'll get why my song is right there where it is and why it's titled what it is. Like, I Hate Niggas, Stevie's song is Black Man. And the song I've done is called I Hate Niggas in the same location.
Right, in terms of how it correlates in reference to the sequencing in terms of subjects.
Yeah.
One thing about it, Snack, is that, I mean, props to you for really, really tackling something that for a lot of black people is considered taboo and even unmentionable. But we, you know, we're all black men. We all love being black. We love black people at large, but we hate, you know, nigga behavior. Where do you think it all started in terms of how black people, from what we dealt with, you know, slavery to, you know, to freedom, you know, with the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, in terms of on paper what that meant, fighting through Jim Crow, ultimately, you know, even through the Civil Rights in 1964, but even then with the Fair Housing that was passed in 1948, and then everything in between, and then somewhere along the line, we started falling into
it just went far left.
I'm going to tell you some real shit, my nigga. You know where everything got to start from? Everything to start from the point you wake up. Mm-hmm. Every day you wake up, that's where the fuck it start from. Because all the rest of that shit, we got to find change. We got to change on a day-to-day basis. You got to try to grow, mature, elevate, progress, and move forward on a day-to-day basis. So everything starts right now. You know, fuck what happened yesterday and all that. I understand what happened. I'm not saying overlook it, but remember it, but don't harp on it. But everything starts right now. If you want to make a change, let's start the change right fucking now. But everybody wants to put, they either want to blame the past on why not to change, or they want to wait to change. They want to see you change. They want to see you do something. Like a motherfucker be like, well, nigga, revolution, well, you run out there and start the revolution, and here I come. But then when I run out there, they shoot the shit out of me, and the first thing you going to say is, shit, you see what happened to that nigga with that revolution talk? It's going to take everybody as a collective to start right fucking now if we won't change and if we won't better.
And what did Gandhi say at
I
one
think
time?
A prime example,
change in the world that you want to see. Yeah. Go ahead, King.
I think a prime example of this too is when people start seeing, they would rather just sit back and just watch everybody else do all the action. Because I tell anybody, like, if you want to see change, do it, be it yourself. Just like even when I started the show, because I didn't even like the direction of hip-hop was going. I ain't like the people that I was covering. I thought they were corny. So I was like, instead of me just complaining about it, let me just start a platform. So it's just,
yeah,
really
right.
about it. It's just
that.
A matter of people.
I say, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying so. So I was saying, is I was like, I want to be the change. I want to start a platform to give artists like you a voice. Instead of me complaining about Hot 97 and The Breakfast Club, I'm like, let me go in and start an alternative. I don't care if it has,
yeah,
like 50 views or 50,000. I mean, it's something.
Yeah, the key is consistency. My partner, Cornell, he owns the page Music Monopoly on Instagram, and that was his reasoning behind starting his page, and he got a real, he's an industry page, and he posts pictures, but that's where he started from, because he was like, man, everything out here is corny to me. And instead of just being judgmental and pointing a finger, he say, man, I'm going to start me a page. And, you know, and his page began to make noise, and it became a real live, you know, page that industry motherfuckers took notice to and start fucking with, you know. So sometimes you got to put one foot in front of the other, you know, and move, keep moving your feet, man, and be that change. But, you know, so many motherfuckers want to sit back and watch the next person, and a lot of motherfuckers be hoping you fail, because that gives them, that makes them feel good about not doing it and not trying to be something in life and not trying to make change, because they going to use your failure as an excuse why not to do something they motherfuckers sell. Y'all been too many cake-ass niggas out here.
Man, if that ain't the truth, Snack, and what did Dr. King say one time? If you can't run, walk. If you can't run, crawl, you know, but you have to keep moving, you know.
Yeah,
and you've got to persevere.
Moving.
Yeah, and one thing about it, Snack, is what you said just resonates so much, because when you're dealing with a lot of the elements of change is something people want, but not everybody wants to make the sacrifice in terms of what it really means, in terms of what they might have to give up, whether monetarily or even their life in the process. You know, mm-hmm. King and myself, you know, me and my brother, we always talk on air with our guests and off air as well about, you know, how a lot of this stuff gets said out there in terms of the revolutionary talk. Yes, I'm going to put his name out there, Puffy, with what he said about how, you know, he's talking about he's going to hold, you know, the current president, you know, he's going to hold the current administration accountable. But then, he was talking about how he was going to have a political party. We ain't seen Puffy say nothing about either, you know. I mean, but he can get out there and talk about how he's the king of L.A., you know, now that, you know, because he's in one of his moves again to go ahead and talk his shit about everything. And, you know, and then you have other individuals out there who, when we come to more serious elements of what goes on in the black community, I can't take this term and say it was my own, but somebody else wrote it. It was a thought piece. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a few years ago. He wrote it about Cornel West with his criticism of Ta-Nehisi Coates. You know, and basically he called out Cornel West basically being a poverty pimp in terms of people like him only like to talk in terms, they talk down to a lot of the new generation of, you know, black youth who they maybe don't agree with on things, and then they only seem to come out or want to be interested in saying things when it profits off of black misery. But you never hear them doing anything in terms of being proactive to to come up with real solutions for the black community.
You know what? When it comes to that, one thing I've come to realize is everybody has a position to play. Like, like it's funny, like when it comes to vision, how you could have a vision and you could see it clear as day, and you could like you could take your vision to different people that's in that area and that could help bring your vision to fruition. But for some reason, they don't see your vision. And then you find one person who believes in you and can see your, like, the universe chooses who to rock with you and what vision to give. Like, it gives certain people certain skills. Like, certain people only got orator skills. Like, they could talk their ass off.
Right.
But when
it
comes to the of making a plan of action, they lack those skills. Like, if they even tried to present a plan of action, it wouldn't be conducive to their words. Like, it wouldn't match. You would be like, oh, nigga, sit down somewhere. But when but you put them and let them speak like a motherfucker, and then certain motherfuckers need motherfuckers behind them who can't, because there's some niggas out there who can't speak, but they could put together a plan of action. But because they can't speak and they can't relate that plan of action to the people, a motherfucker say, oh, bitch ass nigga, sit down somewhere. Don't nobody want to see that shit. Just because a nigga can't speak it and make a motherfucker relate to it and see the vision of his plan of action. But it could be the perfect plan of action. But just because he can't relate a message in a way where a motherfucker can feel it and accept it, a motherfucker reject it. So, like, motherfuckers criticize different people for their stances they take or their position or their abilities, and sometimes that's the only ability that a nigga have.
That's
like,
true.
If you got that's like having a smart motherfucker without common sense, or having a nigga who got common sense but don't have street sense, or got a motherfucker who got street sense but he don't have book sense. You know what I'm saying? So we got to watch how we cast aspersions, because certain motherfuckers only have certain skills that they were equipped with to relate certain messages or to play certain positions. Because a point guard, you know, every point guard ain't Russell Will, Westbrook. My bad, ain't Russell Westbrook. Every point guard can get 10 rebounds. Because getting a rebound is usually a big nigga job. But if Russell do it, I don't expect other point guards to do it.
It's just like with Jason
Kidd.
I dig
what
you're
saying.
Right, and it's just like with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd wasn't the greatest jump shooter, but Jason Kidd's vision was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, he was a floor general. He was the perfect point guard when it came to running. Yeah, and you couldn't hold motherfuckers. I always criticize him not having a jump shot, but he's still in the Hall of Fame. And motherfuckers still recognize the skill that he had.
And the thing is, he ended up developing that. One thing I think people got to understand, Smack, is that sometimes you don't always have the talent. You may be deficient in one area, but it doesn't mean that you can't work towards it. Sometimes, you know, your roof is going to be at a certain level of, you know, what you're trying to, you know, get to. You know, is not everybody's ceiling is the same in terms of, because it's all, and I guess you could kind of, I guess in a weird way, when everybody was kind of trying to rag on Michael about when he said the roof is a ceiling, I guess when you break it down, the roof is not necessary, because the roof always has the element in terms of how it always goes a little further up than the ceiling, but the ceiling is at a certain place, but you still have that space between the roof and the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not always, you know, you know, but Go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was going to say too that if we're putting together like a team or something of that caliber, like you always got to have your facilitators. Just like a lot of people always want to say, well, how come these certain millionaires on in the front line fighting the war? Like, you know how whenever somebody get killed, they have protests, or they have people online talking about, well, where this celebrity at, where this celebrity at? you don't really need the celebrity in the protesting field. If anything, they need to be the facilitator to get the people out.
Yeah.
Everybody got a role to play.
You know, niggas is dumb. You and it all boil down to it, man. Niggas is dumb, my nigga. Niggas is dumb. That's like saying America go to war and a mother get killed and they say, where the general at? Nigga, the general in that office calling shots. That's not his job to be on the front line. Everybody got a job
like
and a position to play.
It ain't like
yeah,
the old
everybody
days fought war.
No, but what I'm just saying, though, it's just an analogy
right.
saying, you know, you ain't going to see no general on the fucking front line. Not to say that
right.
an entertainer is a general, but they got a certain status and a certain position to where, hey, man, I'm not going to be out there with that shit. Now, if they just apart from it altogether, like, you know, if they got the resources but they not providing the people with the resources, now you got the right to call them to task and be like, bitch ass nigga, you know what I'm talking about? You ain't doing a motherfucking thing. But as far as me looking for a motherfucker like Jay-Z to be out there marching and shit, you know, that, you know, hey, man, And that's just throwing a name out there because, you know, some of these niggas ain't going to do a bitch-ass thing because, you know, asking a nigga to risk everything that he felt like he worked for and he earned and that these white folk got, nigga, you know, nigga going to play both sides of the fence like a motherfucker.
And that's real, just, Matt, you know.
Hey, now one of them rich niggas trying to lose all that money and clout and status and power – quote unquote power that they feel like they've garnered. Now one of them, nigga, you can't. That's like how the Bible say, and I ain't just no religious nigga, and I ain't, you know, just into the Bible like that. But that was a bad motherfucker when they say he told that nigga, give away all your worldly possessions and come fuck with me. And that nigga, man, nigga, fuck you, nigga. I ain't giving away all my money, nigga.
And you know,
you tripping.
And you know, Smack, on a lot of levels, because I'm about to, you know, with the examples I'm about to give, disclaimer, it's not about trying to, cast aspersions, call out anybody or whatever. But I'm going to just run with it here because what you said, Smack, is something that's true because when you're dealing with a certain level of comfort and the amenities of what your celebrity provides, a lot of individuals, you know, they have a right to have a good life for themselves and they have a right to provide for their family. When everybody says why a celebrity doesn't get on the front line, I'm like, well, number one, let's break it down like this. Just because they're a celebrity does not mean that validates them as being the social authority or the or the voice of the people. And I'm like, this is something that, especially with black people,
that's nigga shit.
Yeah.
You what? Go ahead and say it, nigga.
Doing.
That's nigga shit. We the only motherfuckers who look at entertainers as our leaders, and the media pick our leaders. We don't pick our leaders. Who the last leader we pick? Maybe Farrakhan was. He was. Niggas just didn't even pick Farrakhan. He was thrust upon us through the Nation of Islam and put to the forefront. Who the last nigga that a nigga just really picked and said, we gonna fuck with this nigga? From ground up, like we gonna get behind him.
Right. And
I don't have it ever been a nigga like that?
No. And I mean, and even when you,
hey,
look
you know what, though?
No,
you know, I'm going to throw a wrench out there and say at first that we were going to say Barack, but we know how that turned out.
That nigga, we ain't picked that nigga, man. We ain't picked that nigga, man. Stop it, my nigga. We ain't picked that nigga. The white folks picked that nigga, man. We ain't picked that nigga because if niggas pick a nigga, there'll be a nigga that look like me like a motherfucker, that talk like me, look like me, you know. And probably, if niggas do, now if you get a fucking bitch like Candace Owens, it's, you know, that fucking bitch, you know.
Yeah, but it's crazy because, you know, when we look at what happened, especially with some of the police brutality shit, of course, rest in peace to Tamir Rice, you know, his mother, you know,
rest
in peace
to all
the niggas. Yeah. She wanted to call out. She was talking about how she thought it was sad that LeBron didn't say something about her son, you know, being killed by police. And I'm like, you know, and that was what I was saying earlier about the disclaimer, about not trying to disrespect anybody. But the fact was, I'm thinking to myself,
why does LeBron need to say something? Why? Because he's Cleveland.
No, because he got a platform and he got a voice, and if he say some certain factions and certain elements and certain motherfuckers is gonna listen and they gonna tune in and they gonna consider what LeBron has to say, be it no matter how you feel about it, be it wrong or right, they still gonna consider it. They gonna at least consider it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not to say that they gonna follow through with some action, but they are gonna consider it because he's LeBron James.
Understood. And I just thought from a situation of it, because she was already getting support regardless because of what happened with that tragedy. You know, she was already getting support, but it's like, you know, now you're asking somebody who didn't really, you know, who is not that he didn't care about it, but it's like, why would you call him out specifically? I think a lot of times it goes back to what I said and what you said, Matt, you know, and King. It's about, you know, people who choose to get into the fight, and a lot of times we try to volunteer people for it. And not everybody is going to have.
You know what? And a good example of that too is, see, this is what I don't really like. See, I look at it, I see the philosophy of you being your own leader. Like, why should we have to wait for Lil Wayne or somebody to speak for us when you can speak for yourself?
You know where that comes from. That comes from years of niggas not having a voice. You know, and
that's
so
the
biggest voices we have in our community, you know, that's like, you know, motherfuckers relied King, but King had the, he pulled in, tried to pull in Sammy Davis. He pulled in Harry Belafonte because he knew, they amplified his voice when motherfuckers see, because Harry Belafonte was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. And to see him out there walking. And, you know, King probably felt like, you know, if this yellow nigga ain't standing next to me, these laws just might go upside my motherfucking head. But I know they not going to fuck with this old pretty yellow nigga right here that's Hollywood, because Hollywood going to scream. Y'all bet not hit our golden goose nigga.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it is.
Not hit him with no brick.
Like a motherfucker, Hollywood going to scream like a motherfucker. You damaged this pretty nigga face. So, you know, yeah, nigga, shit, that's just how it, so niggas, we need somebody to amplify our voice that we feel like the white folks give a fuck about, because we know they don't give a fuck about us. They don't give a fuck about a poor white motherfucker, even though they think they do. Well, poor white trash motherfuckers really think that the system give a fuck about them, but they in the same boat we is. But they just think, because I'm white, I'm still as good as you is, bitch-ass nigga.
Matt, you hit it right on the head, too, and that's something that a lot of times, and, you know, that's something that, you know, straight up a lot of white people don't understand, is that a lot of times it comes down to money and class. And if you are not in that same circle with certain white people who have money, even if you're white, now your complexion is going to help you along at a certain level. That is true. But at certain levels, if you do not, you're not in the same circles with them white people. Like, remember how we watched some old movies back in the day? You would see how the white people be dissing other white people because they weren't in the same social class?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the same thing. You know?
Yeah, but as long as they feel like they ain't got to wake up and beat no black-ass niggas, because you see LeBron, the most, you know, decorated nigga in America right now, but some white motherfucker still spray painting nigga on his gate. Like, nigga, don't forget, I'm still better than you.
You know,
and I ain't got a pot to piss in.
And it's wild, man, because, you know, and LeBron has never, ever sold out the black community. He's always
man, we
on
got
the
a,
front line.
We got a, y'all should know him because, Ali Sadiq, he out of Houston, a comedian. He was on Last Comic Standing, and, you know, he making his rounds. He been out there for a minute, and he's funny as fuck. But just a couple weeks ago, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago, because the same day we work out at the same gym, and I seen him when we talked, and then he went his way, I went my way. But later on that day, he put up a post on Instagram of him at the gas station, a homeless motherfucking white woman asking him for some money, and he was trying to pump his gas, and he was, like, trying to tell her to hold on or something, or wait. He was doing something and was trying to tell her to hold on, and she got mad and called him a dirty nigga. And this is a homeless white bitch. I'm talking about homeless, dope fiendish. I'm talking about bitch look like a, you know, look like she smell like wet dog and drying a motherfucker. And call that nigga a dirty nigga, and he put it on. He say, y'all look at this shit here. Look, this is shit we deal with in America. This bitch is homeless asking me for my money, but yet she still feel like she better than me. And I pull up in a brand new motherfucking big-ass, badass SUV. I'm somebody, but yet this bitch still, this is a homeless white bitch that still feel like, nigga, I'm better than you.
I mean, but it's like, and I've always
said that's a trip. Yeah,
but I've said this on the show before, y'all. You know, Lyndon B. Johnson, one of former president of the United States, he said if you can make the lowest white man, you know, feel better, you know, feel that he's better than the average colored man, you know, you can empty out his pockets. Hell, give him someone to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets out for you.
Man, I think about when Malcolm wrote that letter back to Betty from Mecca, and when he said, man, I've come to realize that white is a state of mind in America. It's not a skin color. It's a state of mind. Like, that shit just blew like a light bulb. When I heard it, that shit stuck with me, like, from the time I heard it. Like, it's not even a skin color. It's a state of mind, my nigga. Because he said, nigga, I'm sitting here with the whitest of white man, with the bluest of eyes and the blondest of hair, and we both fellowshipping and praying to the same God, sleeping on the same floor next to each other. That shit is a state of mind.
That's and you know what, though? And mm-hmm. also with this, and also it's crazy how you look at how today, because I remember looking at one of your posts. I forgot the guy's name. He was one of the, he's a Republican. He was talking to a black Republican. He said that he don't think there's any racism in America.
Yeah, that monkey nigga there, Tim Scott. Man, this,
yeah,
boy, if it's ever been a motherfucker, this nigga is the coon mascot. Fuck that nigga, man. Fuck all these bitch-ass niggas, man. Boy, when y'all, I got a, what's the song I got? Oh, I got a song on my album called Always. And it say, I be loving you niggas always until we all raise or until we all cave, nigga. And in that motherfucking song, boy, I got some meat. Boy, I spit some venom at niggas in that motherfucker. I say, nigga, all you niggas that say you ready to fight then, all right then. Nigga, you still depend on the white man, the white man's food, the white man's laws, the white man's lights, fam. And then we still got to worry about these bitch-ass niggas that say the white man all right, man.
It seems to me that people more so, a lot of these cats today, whether it be to me, this is my personal opinion on both sides, they seem to identify more with party than being black.
Yeah. And fuck both. Nigga, that's like asking which motherfucking wing is the best wing on a bird, the right wing or the left wing. It's still the same bird, bitch-ass nigga.
I mean, that's deep. And you know one thing about it, Smack, is that when you're dealing with a lot of these individuals out here, you know, because everybody, you know, because we all have our, you know, political affiliations and beliefs, you know, societal constructs, I just always look at it from a perspective, especially when you got guys like, what's that dude, Daniel Cameron in Louisville, you know, especially how he's just trying to prolong this whole Breonna Taylor case, not really being really adamant, pushing it with those officers that killed her. And Tim Scott, you know, in Florida, you know, he's another one of those black conservatives. Candace Owens, you know, the list goes on, you know, of all these individuals out here who try to identify with that white power structure. My thing is, listen, if we go by party from a historical context,
because this conversation gets very deep and very multifaceted, but we just keep it basic. A lot of black conservatives want to run with the whole Republican thing because they say, well, you know,
man,
Lincoln freed the slaves.
The whole thing about it is, I'm going to tell you something, niggas got to be careful with the word they use, a fucking
right.
black conservative, because the majority of motherfuckers who say they black conservative, they married to a motherfucking white motherfucker. So how did you get to marry a white motherfucker? Through liberation, through a liberal bitch-ass nigga, because if a conservative had his way back in 1855, your bitch-ass would be hanging from a tree. But now
right.
you a conservative. Do you know what conservative? You trying to conserve a way of life. So where did conservatives come from? They came from white folks trying to conserve the way of slavery. But now you a black conservative. Man, get the fuck out of here, dumb bitch-ass nigga. Man, I can't stand these hoe-ass niggas. I really can't, my nigga. These bitch-ass niggas, you know what these niggas really is, my nigga. They trot these niggas out in front of us to try to pacify us and, like I say, keep us complacent. They the same bitch-ass niggas that used to watch a nigga get the shit beat out of him in the field. Then after a nigga got the shit beat out of him, they come out to the field and tell a nigga, I don't know what you mad at, Massa ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? Or did Massa slap the shit out of him? Well, he was just having a bad day. Man, get the fuck, man, fuck them niggas, man. Fuck all them hoes, niggas. Because they some dick suckers is what they is, my nigga. Fuck them in their ass, my nigga. And they probably enjoy what they bitch ass.
Yeah, you know, and when they talk about, you know, how in terms of identifying, you know, with your, you know, oppressor, man, you know, we still have a lot of them that they're, I'm like, you know, and it's not even about party, even though party has a lot to do with it, Smacky King, but it also has to do just in general about you deal with motherfuckers that don't like you anyway because you're black. You know, I mean, that's
yeah,
if
same
you're
not,
mommy,
that cop boy kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah, mind you, that black cop
from
Boys in the Hood, man, they don't like niggas.
Yeah.
Like him.
The same motherfuckers who ask you kissing, though, as soon as you walk out the room, they calling them a nigga. They making fun of them because they, like, this nigga really think he one of us. You can't tell them that because them white folk going to keep up the appearance because they using them, and they know that they some simple-minded motherfuckers.
Yeah, and the Stockholm
they know they
syndrome
simplified.
Is real.
Look how they done. What's her name with her bitch ass, Stacey Dash. Then she wanna come run back trying to pander the niggas after this funky bitch Candace Owens and took your slot. They don't need you no more. They found a whole more articulate than you.
And you know. And Snap, that's a great point you brought up because, you know, Stacey's thing was because there's two parts of that. Because Stacey said she wanted to come back because she said, well, you know, I was angry for all these years. Well, my thing is if you were angry.
I want to come
I'm
back.
Like,
bitch, come back.
Yeah, if you were angry, then that means your anger was misplaced all this time. And with Candace Owens, she had a situation where NCAA had to come help her out because she had gotten in some stuff in high school.
Yeah,
Stacey
Dash was angry at? Was she mad? What nigga was she mad? So one nigga does something to you and you said, fuck all niggas? Fuck all them old niggas. Because I just, bitch, you never met me, because if you met me, I would have been trying to put that dick on your bitch ass. I would have been trying, because, bitch, I done heard some things. I would have been trying to skeet all in your eye, fucking bitch, and them green eyes you got, fucking bitch. So you ain't never met me to say fuck me, fucking bitch, to just be like, fuck that, bitch. Man, fuck, man, they motherfuckers be playing for the paycheck, for comfort, for stability. And when you find them white folks, yank that whole ass rug from up under your bitch ass. And you know, man, niggas is so quick to sell their own self-fight. They own integrity. Like we have a real big problem with integrity today. Like, within our community, we got a real big problem with integrity. Motherfuckers get a pass just because they rich, they famous. They popular, and we got a problem with integrity. A motherfucker can do some shit that we know ain't right, but a motherfucker get a pass because we feel like they got some money. You look at all these hoe-ass rap niggas, these bitch-ass niggas, they, half of these niggas, you know, 75 to 80% of these niggas, where the system going to make sure they pump nothing but destruction. Like, all of the biggest rappers right now, they the most destructive motherfuckers it is to a nigga. They ain't talking about nothing but killing another nigga. Yeah, killing another nigga, getting high, getting fucked up, spending your money. Don't invest your money wisely. They not telling you nothing about investing your money wisely or building a community or helping each other out. And all the hoes talking about selling pussy. This is what the system that controls the corporations that control the music pushes up on us. They'll sit there and play. My partner Botch, he got a song called Tacos and Titties right now, and he say that they want to play the song on the radio, but he can't say titties. I say, you can't say titties, nigga. All the shit they say on the radio, nigga, they sit there and all day play songs about kill another nigga, but you can't say titties. It's a million ways you can kill a nigga on the radio. You can't even play one motherfucking song talking about kill a dog.
Y'all know the cold part about it is too, as you look at how censorship is coming to play too with certain material, because even with YG, they took two of his songs just because he referenced the Asian, but they kept the rest of the songs up there, him killing black people up there.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't make a song about killing nay another race of people or nay another community, or you can't make a song about I'ma kill all Jews. Nigga, we gonna ride on some Jews. We gonna ride on some gay motherfuckers. I wish the fuck you would. I wish
your whole catalog gone
like a motherfucker, and it'll be so many motherfucking rainbows outside your motherfucking front porch.
I tell anybody, man, that's this.
Shooting glitter at your mailbox.
Shooting glitter.
But yeah, only people would come
funny.
Up with something like that.
That's funny,
yeah,
nigga.
Smack,
you open. Go ahead.
But I want to get back with you, Smack, about what you were saying earlier about how a lot of people, because we still got a lot to cover on a lot of subjects. Because it's like the situation of when you said that about how just because they're a celebrity or whatever, I instantly thought of the situation with R. Kelly. And this is off the cuff, so we just got to keep it real. And this has been documented, so it's not like we're just talking the talk and just saying whatever. We know the situation with Kells that has been going back almost basically 30 years. So we social media was not around back then. So you heard stuff, especially if you were from Chicago.
You ain't hear a motherfucking thing. You seen shit, nigga. You were putting dick on
exactly.
A lid, nigga.
We've seen it. And now he's locked up. He's locked up the past couple years.
But the other motherfuckers, everybody around R. Kelly and the parents of every motherfucking underage kid need to be locked up with R. Kelly. Everybody around him, because they co-signed it, they helped him fuck young bitches, they helped sneak them hoes in and out, they held jiggers, and the parents signed their little young daughters over to that nigga to put dick on their daughters because they thought they was going to capitalize. Everybody need to be in jail. Every motherfucking body associated with that shit. If you not going to lock everybody up, let R. Kelly out.
And that's real.
R. Kelly out. Because everybody deserves to be locked up.
And what
every
said,
goddamn
Mike,
body need to be locked the fuck up because they all played a part in trafficking minors to that nigga.
And you're right, Smack. I mean, it's real. And I want to get your opinion.
That's
on
a conspiracy
how
case, nigga. That's conspiracy. If the law's running, if me and three of my motherfucking partners is scoring some keys, and the laws run in, and they catch. We all going down, nigga, because we all played a part in getting them motherfucking keys up in this bitch. But that's just them want to target a successful black man and bring him down and lower. But what about everything that transpired?
And it's crazy, too, Matt, because I wanted to ask your opinion of how, you know, why is it you still see, especially with a lot of women who know that he did what he did, and yet it's still, you still have women supporting him saying, well, you know, he, those girls shouldn't have been so fast, which goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show about, you know, nigga shit in the black community, about how we still blame the victim when there's sexual violence in the black community, which is really an issue that is not talked about enough. So I'm like, how are you going to blame?
Well,
like,
you know, it was, but the whole thing about it is, was they really victims? We know they was underage, but was they victims? Or did they want to put pussy on R. Kelly? Because, like I just watched some shit about Dave Chappelle bit about how old is 15 really, when he was poking fun at R. Kelly about pissing on a 15-year-old girl. Nigga, at 8 years old, a motherfucker couldn't piss on me, nigga. Nigga, what the fuck is you doing?
Right. I mean, look, when Aaron Magruder did that trial of R. Kelly in the
Riley, I mean, nigga, nigga, she seen piss coming, she stayed. I see piss coming, I move. Nigga, what is you doing? Nigga, you not finna piss on me, nigga. I'm not finna let a hoe piss on me, nigga. How old is it? Because motherfuckers can't make a conscious decision at 15 because they locked that little young nigga up at 15. That the little nigga who performed the wrestling move on the little 6-year-old girl just playing, and he killed her. By the time they tried him, he was 14. And they locked him up and gave him, they reversed it, but they gave him parole, tried him as an adult.
Yeah.
Life was
not parole.
I remember
that case down in Florida. It was Lionel. I can't remember his last name at the moment. But yeah.
Is we gonna have the shit across the board, or is y'all gonna pick and choose?
Yeah, and that's something where, you know, it's something because, like you said, justice in terms of, it goes into a lot of issues where a lot of times people, you know, it's about how justice wants to be applied at certain levels with it, you know, and it's just crazy when you think about it.
Well,
you know,
it's always
going
to be applied differently when it comes to us, you know. They will always view us as you know, with a 14-year-old, they gonna look at him as a 14-year-old black kid. You know, he's an adult.
Yeah, that was Lionel Tate when it happened in Florida years ago.
Yeah.
I remember it now. Yeah, but
a 14-year-old white kid, they gonna say, well, he that's just a kid being a kid.
Yeah, and especially me working in education like I did years ago, you know, and I did it for 12 years. I saw situations with kids where this is where it gets a tricky a whole lot because, you know, when you do studies, they say the human brain is not fully functional until you're 25 in terms of really able to really
reasoning
Yeah, in terms of really being able to have cognitive, like you can have coherent thoughts, but still until they say you're 25, that's when your brain, now that's genetics, that's just nature, and we can't fight nature, but when you're looking at situations like at 14, you know what you're not supposed to do in terms of, you may know you're not
supposed
to do it.
Nigga, you know how much shit I used to do, nigga? I stole the motherfucking car, my mama and stepdaddy, them niggas, where did they go? They went somewhere out of town. And they done the shit on purpose. They left the car keys. Knowing they done the shit on purpose. 18. I know I ain't supposed. Nigga, I know I'm going to get my ass beat to death. Nigga, I stole the motherfucking car, and me and all my partners, nigga, we rode all around the city doing all types of shit, nigga. 14, nigga, at 14, nigga, I knew how to drive, but I knew I wasn't supposed to be driving, and I knew I damn sure right. wasn't supposed to be driving this motherfucking vehicle. Because if right. they find out, nigga, they going to kill me. I knew. Nigga, I ain't no goddamn fool. I knew I wasn't supposed to fuck with this car.
Right.
But it wasn't and until years later I said, man, they left them whole ass keys on purpose.
Yeah. And, you know, it's wild, man. It's wild because, you know.
Hey, I was going to hit him with this one here, T-Max. Now, this post here was interesting to me, and this is one of the funniest posts here, but at the same time, it shows a paradigm within the change of dialogue, like the real Mushmore that you did. Like you had yourself up there, you had Kevin Samuels, Charleston White,
White and Boosie. Yeah, it's a T-shirt I got called Mount Realmore.
You see, like a paradigm of, are they buying them?
Fuck yeah, niggas buying the shit out them shirts. Niggas buying the fuck out them shirts, nigga. They soon as they see them, they be like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, and a lot, it's a controversial shirt within itself, and motherfuckers feel a way about everybody on the shirt. You know, and none more controversial probably than Charleston White because a lot of niggas really hate Charleston. But motherfuckers, like a lot of motherfuckers be like, oh, he a hoe-ass nigga. But I didn't put me and my people would have was the one like, yeah, that's about it, Mount Realmore. It's not because of what we feel like what he say. He say some real shit. But he stand on what he say, so it's that real.
Right.
He, you know, matters how you feel about what he say, he stands on it. He's a man of it. He stands on what the fuck he say. He ain't hiding. He out there in the front. And that's as real as it get, nigga, when you stand on your beliefs and what the fuck you say. Matters how you feel about it or how I feel about it. Because, like, 80% of the shit he say be some real shit. It's just the 20% I'd be like, you know, nigga, you going overboard now. But he still stand on his word. You know what I'm saying? You got to respect any man that stand on their beliefs and their words. Matters if you agree with them or not.
And you know one thing we respect so much about
Kevin Samuels, too.
Yeah. And I
yeah, same thing with Kevin Samuels, too.
With you.
Yeah.
You want to get
them bitches hate them.
Because we definitely wanted to get with you about that in terms of getting your opinion, Snap. I wanted to say beforehand, though, me and King have always respected so much because, you know, you've always researched everything, and you may be at times, for some people, they may call it abrasive, they may call it acerbic, but you're never a person who's just shooting off without having some academics, and we've always respected you, and so many others respect you for that as well.
I'm far from a dumb nigga.
Yeah, and we really can appreciate the facts you bring. We wanted to definitely, like King said, touch base with you because we could probably do a damn hour on this alone. We got about an hour left of the show, but we want to get you. But Kevin Samuels. And in the past few months, we gained a lot of controversy because
that nigga's a monkey digger, nigga. That nigga, that nigga, that a truth. That nigga, the truth.
Is black men? We love our black women. We're just kind of gonna take a little step sideways.
But the whole thing about it is. As black men, since a motherfucking baby, they've been told us that we can't check them fucking bitches for all their indiscretions, for all their faults and all their shortcomings.
Right.
Because what the first thing they want to tell you, even as a little boy, don't do that, don't say that. You got a mama, you got a sister, you got an auntie. shit, that fucking bitch got a daddy. She got a brother. She got an uncle. But that fucking bitch will still be out there clowning a nigga, but you ain't supposed to clown that fucking bitch because you got a mama. Why ain't she supposed to be clowning me because she got a daddy?
Yeah, and you know, one thing about it, Smack, because it goes back to what we were once again talking about at the beginning about, you know, nigga shit in the black community. One thing about it is, and I know y'all feel the same way as I do, I love black women. I cherish all black women.
I love them. Let me tell you this before we go further, though, nigga. Because I was just telling my partner today, my nigga, they need to outlaw certain shit because the gym I go to, nigga, is like a fucking... It's like a nigga that died and went to heaven, nigga. I seen a bitch come up in that bitch today, nigga. Man, this motherfucker, I had to get up out the gym, my nigga. I'm glad that I was at the end of my workout. Because this bitch here make a nigga catch a free world jack-off case. Man, this bitch here was so goddamn. Man, this motherfucker here was gorgeous, my nigga. Waist was so goddamn packed, and it looked like somebody dropped a bomb in her motherfucking jeans because ass just exploded everywhere, man. And I was like, God, damn.
I need to see her.
Man, say, you, and for me, I was like, man, let me get the fuck up out of here, man, because I'm finna turn into a straight up creep up in this motherfucker. Cause this, and she knew because she had on them jogging, them yoga pants that's made to the go up in her whole ass and in her pussy. I'm like, man, why the fuck would you even wear this, my nigga? Why even wear this?
I gotta see
this.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, she was gorgeous, my nigga. Like, sometimes God just, whenever God want to show out, he just create a badass black bitch, nigga. Just, I'm going to just show y'all just how tough of a nigga I am. But go ahead with what y'all talking about, my nigga.
But, you know, but it's wild, though, Snap, because the one thing about it is, you know, we hear, you know, situations, you know, black women talk about, and this is a wide range of conversation in terms of the dynamics of how black men and black women associate with each other, dating, relationships, you know, marriage, what the man's role is, what a woman is. But it's, and I preface this by saying this is not downing black women. You know, bitches, don't worry. I ain't hating on y'all, but what I'm about to say is going to address the irresponsible shit that you'd be doing. And I'm like, you know, and I guess I start with the most basic one. They say, well, I can't find a good man. I'm like, no, you just have certain, the good men are there. The question is, what are your metrics in terms of what a good man is? You know, I'm like,
bitches,
there's plenty of good
bitches
men.
Bitches want a nigga that they want. They want a nigga that they can't have. Bitches be having unrealistic standards that, bitch, you don't even meet the standard. But a nigga, he got to have his own house. Bitch, you ain't got your own house. You sleeping on somebody's couch. He need to have his own car. Bitch, you ride the bus. He need to have a good job. Bitch, you on welfare.
And while that's funny as fuck what you said, Smack, it's real at the same time because the thing is that there's a situation where just in general the man by nature is supposed to be the provider. And we get all that. We understand that. We're not saying that's not true. But the fact is that, you know, when you start, you know, but a lot of women, they start asking for stuff. Like I was reading something, a woman talking about, you know, she want, you know, a nigga taking her on trips. And then the question was, can you afford the shit that you're asking a man for? Because I will say it first. I tell a woman, number one, don't be relying on man to subsidize your lifestyle because you should already have your shit together when you meet him. Because if a nigga's really on his shit, he's looking at you as an investment in terms of what he has. Because if he's already on, and I might get a little funky with it like an old batch of collard greens. You know, the thing is, the man, you know, women don't like to hear this. And I might get a little funky, I might keep it a little mild, but I'm going to be real all the way. You know, men can be 55 years old and fuck with a 25-year-old. You know, dick lasts longer than pussy in terms of, you know, if the nigga keep himself up. You see a lot of young girls, you know, with older niggas.
And bitches is unscrupulous when it comes to money, power, success, and clout. Bitches is unscrupulous. A bitch, you know, that's like when power came out, empire, The not power, empire, to show empire with R. And
right.
Bitches, this nigga R, the gay nigga R.
Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett. Bitches, he openly gay, and bitches was still, I fuck Jussie Smollett. He gay. Bitch, you would take the chance of getting AIDS, you know, fucking a gay nigga, or, you know, just because the nigga, you know, on TV and you feel like the nigga getting a little money and got some power. The man don't even like women. But you bitches, bitches is unscrupulous when it comes. Bitches do not give a damn. If a nigga got, look at that, a lot of these rap niggas is some ugly niggas. If they didn't have money and they wasn't a rich and powerful, not powerful, but a rich and famous rap nigga, they wouldn't be fucking that bitch. That bitch fucking with you because who you is. A bitch do not want to fuck with me once I blow a bitch because I'm going to fuck you. If your mama bad, your sister bad, your homegirl, I'm fucking all of y'all because you only fucking with me because of who I am. Because if I didn't have none of this shit, bitch, you wouldn't fuck. You wouldn't, bitch, if I try to holler at you, bitch, you a bitch ass nigga. So, bitch, I'm a hood your funky ass out because you ain't shit, funky bitch. Because you bitches don't know nothing about building. You don't, you know, bitch. If all you bring to the table is pussy, prepare to be treated like nothing but pussy, funky bitch.
And that's real.
That's
a lot
the majority
of, women,
of all these hoes bring is pussy and problems.
And that's some real shit, man. Because it's like a lot of women. Because if I, you know, when. And I can only say this from my experience because I've dealt with a lot of women, but some women, but I'm not the, I'm never going to say, because I don't like to be self-absorbed about what I know. I'm just going to say I'm not stupid. And for me talking to a lot of women, you know, one of my homegirls, shout out to Keisha. You know, that's my sister, you know, and she said, you know, I know what your problem is in terms of the women you dealt with. I'm like, what? She's like, you scare bitches. She's like, because you're a black man that's educated and you don't go for the okey-doke. She's like, and for a lot of black women, that intimidates them because they know,
you know
they
what?
Go
I really
the
hate
route.
That shit, though.
Said,
I really hate that intimidation shit, my nigga. That shit, though. I was just backstage with Mike Epps and Carlos Miller. Shout out to them niggas. DC Young Fly. Henry Welch or Mark Curry, them niggas mm-hmm. just came to Houston last Saturday or done a concert, and I'm backstage with them, and I'm back there fucking with Mike Epps, and it's this black chick back there. She with a white girl, but the black chick, you could tell they lift weights, but she cute. She ain't overbearingly like manly, but you could tell she work out. And so I just inquired about it. I say, damn, you look good. Because, you know, I go to the gym every day. And then she going to say, you intimidated. And so as soon as she said that, I fucking blacked out. I say, intimidated. I say, you talking to the wrong nigga. Bitch, I'll kill you with this dick. That's how intimidated I am, fucking bitch. I'll kill you with this dick, fucking bitch. Fucking, what kind of niggas is walking around intimidated of a bitch?
I'm like,
I understand that. Nigga, a bitch can make more money than me. I ain't intimidated. The more money you make, the more I'm going to put this dick on you, fucking bitch, because I'm going to break you down.
That's that.
What's wrong with these
right
bitch-ass
here.
Niggas? I don't know what's wrong with these bitch-ass niggas today. These niggas got
problems. When did this even start, man? Because it was like you start seeing more of this than ever before. I recall...
Right.
The shit
being these bitch ass niggas was raised by their mamas, man. These bitch ass niggas ain't had no kind of male influence in their life. They had too much of, and the male influences they had was out on the block, but they had too much of female influence in their life. That's where it comes from. I spent all my years with my grandfathers and uncles and shit. You know, my pops was locked up, but my tea lady, I had a stepfather and I had mentors, I had niggas in my life, my nigga. And I was raised around some real niggas and real men. Like, wasn't going for shit, nigga. And you know, a bit. And then, crazy part is, I was raised around a house full of women, so a woman can't tell me a bitch ass thing because I done seen and heard it all. So I know y'all ain't shit. because I was raised in a house full of tough ass. Every woman in the house was beautiful with long hair and was some mean motherfuckers, nigga. My grandmother, my God rest her soul, Big Mama was a motherfucker, nigga. She was a, man, my Big Mama was a bad bitch, nigga, was a crazy monkey nigga. Handled niggas like hoes. And I see her handle these niggas like hoes. I was like, man, ain't no fucking way I'ma let no motherfucking woman do me like that, like she do these niggas. The fuck I look like?
Yeah, and you
and
know
they go
wild,
ahead and
man.
They just and they just go ahead and just go with it. Like they'll, you mean you see a paradigm shift to where these dudes is actually scared to check them, they scared to approach them, they scared to talk to them. I'm like, good God, man, they really done a number.
These hoes be on Instagram busting they pussy wide open, all that shit. That you go to the comments and you see a nigga talking about queen. Nigga,
and you know, Matt, that's like the funniest shit when niggas do that, because I'm like, look, I'm like, let's just all be real about the shit, you know, because none of us are gonna be one of them simp niggas just trying to, you know, like it's like, yeah, queen. You get, I'm like, dude, I'm like, nigga, it's like, because niggas be putting queen in her comments, knowing she twerk. I'm like, dude, I'm like, that ain't necessarily, I ain't against her busting her ass, you know what I'm saying?
No, nigga, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, but I'm like, this ain't necessarily. This ain't necessarily queen temperament that she's showing right now, but dudes be like, you know, I'm like, man, the pandering, the pussy is real right now. I'm like, y'all niggas is just like.
Yeah, but, you know, if you raised in the house and that's what your mama done and your mama was the queen of the household, that's how you view this funky bitch as a queen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, too, you know, I'll always tell women, you know, because once again, it's a very tricky it's a very tricky navigation because I tell women there's nothing wrong with wanting a good man who can provide, because that's what a man should do. But I'm like, don't look for that man to do everything for you. And by the same token, you can't complain if you get with a nigga who ain't shit and you knew he won't shit to begin with. But then you fuck around and that, you know, then you got like four or five kids with him and then you're like, well, fuck that nigga, he ain't shit, you know. Don't
bitch,
I'm
what
like,
that made you? You laid up with that nigga.
Exactly. And I'm like, if you knew the nigga had like five kids before he got to you and he don't take care of none of them, you know, what make you think, you know, you not going to be another one he put a baby up in and then he don't take care of? Because
every bitch is raised to believe her pussy is so special and so powerful that she could change a nigga. Every bitch think that she could change a nigga through the power of her pussy. Bitch, your pussy ain't no more special than the next pussy. They all do the same thing, fucking bitch. But when I go
and
telling them hoes that, they be mad. Bitch, yo, ain't nothing special about you, fucking bitch. I can go on Instagram and find a million bitches that's doing the same thing you doing.
And the reality
don't compare me to the rest of these. I ain't like the rest of these hoes. That's what all you hoes say. I ain't like the rest of these hoes. That's what all you hoes say. That shit is crazy, man.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy though, Snot, is that a lot of times when you deal with a lot of women like that, their thing is they want to believe, because it turns into because they'll even be a competition with each other about, you know, well, I got that dude, or and the one thing I tell women is that, listen, the nigga is only going to, you know, when you're really, I'm like, the thing is, if you're talking about the man you want, what type of man do you really want? Because a guy who's really stable and wants substance, he might love pussy enough to fuck you, but he's never going to commit to you the way you want it. And he may have everything you want, but if he doesn't look at you as somebody he's really locked in with, you're never going to be the one. And that's something a lot of women like to say, Matt. Yeah, go ahead.
One thing they got to realize is that a nigga that feel like he got everything before he met you don't need you.
Sure.
Don't need you at all. But these,
sure,
for some reason, these bitches want to feel like they the missing piece. Bitch, you the problem that's about to enter and destroy a nigga piece.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if he's already got, even if he's not rich, but if he could be home with his mama, but if he's got already a certain level of a comfortable lifestyle where he's at least doing okay, when we think about it in terms of what we're bringing in with a woman, I saw something the other day, a post where it talked about marriage, and it's like, should a man be looked at differently because he's not, by a certain age, he's not married and has kids? And the answer was no, because niggas got a lot to fucking lose if they get rid of the wrong bitch. They got a lot to lose in terms of alimony, divorce. I'm like, and if a man's already got something he's built for himself, he's running. It's like me and King talk about this all the time. King, remember what you and me talked about with Casino, about with Ace, and then when he brought Ginger in and how all the shit got fucked up after that?
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah. You know, and
But the whole thing about it is, in most relationships, it's damn near required that the man brings more to the relationship than the woman does. But yet the bitch feels like she's the most valuable asset, the most valuable piece of the relationship. But yet she don't bring shit to the relationship more than not. Because if you ask a bitch, like, what do you got to offer? And watch how shallow the bitch answers. Like,
you know, but it's also, yeah, but what you said, Snack, is real, but it also comes from the same level where a lot of times you got, you know, bitches out there who really do it, but then their thing is they think they're better than the man, like, you know,
they damn sure ain't going for no broke nigga. Ain't now a bitch who feel like she doing for herself going for no nigga that ain't got nothing, that she feel like it ain't got more than what she got. Nigga can't even really be on these bitches' level because they going to be like, bitch-ass nigga, I'm doing that already. So they feel like they need a nigga who doing better than them.
But you also look at it too, Smack, and this is something that is this has been troubling to me that happens in the black community because it seems like only our women say this. It seems like only our women say they don't need a man. You never hear Asian women say it.
No, fuck, you never
hear us. White women say it. You never hear Latin women say it. It's only black women. And this is not all black
Only time you hear the word strong, independent, the very next two words after this, black woman. I'm a strong, independent. Finish the sentence.
Black woman.
Black woman.
And
you ain't never heard of I'm a strong, independent white woman. I ain't never heard that shit.
Right,
I'm a strong, independent Asian woman. I ain't never heard that.
Yeah, there's always that racial qualifier in that statement that denotes black, you know. But and I understand it because racism does exist. Black women do deal with a lot in society, just like black men do. But if anything, I tell black women, if you already know what it's like going on out there, like you said earlier about when you wake up and you have to want to change, I'm like, if you came up in a situation where you know your lifestyle, your life wasn't great, don't you think it's time to break the cycle in terms of finding a good man? I'm like, and I tell a lot of these women out here, stop fucking measuring these niggas out here in the context of these rap nigga fantasies. I'm like, or these athlete fantasies with money. If we break it down on this level, let's break it on two. Number one, these rap niggas out here ain't got that money like they claim to have. And number two, when you're dealing with athletes who do have money, it goes to number three. The average dude, black or white, doesn't have that kind of money out there like that. You know, I'm like,
niggas with that kind of money don't need a bitch because bitches come a dime a dozen. Bitches fuck every bitch want to fuck, just like every nigga want to fuck a bad bitch. If a bad bitch walk through the club, every nigga in the club want to fuck that bitch. If a nigga walk through the club with money, every bitch in the club want to fuck that nigga.
Right,
And he going to fuck all them hoes because he a nigga. Nigga, if I blow up right now and they come drop me a mean bag, boy, these bitches is in trouble. Because I don't do bad, but I ain't doing what I would like to do. I ain't fucking the bitches I would love to fuck. Instagram going to be in trouble.
But these chicks, too, see, they know when the size up, you know, as you would say, cake-ass niggas. You know what I'm saying? Because they know if somebody game goofy, and they know if somebody, like, they just blow up and start getting some money. So they like, okay, I'm going to hit a lick with this sucker.
Yeah. Yeah,
chicks got to understand, too. It's really about, you know, how does that nigga treat you? You know, is he, I'm like, you know.
Man, bitch don't give a damn about how no nigga treat her today, my nigga. We talking about 2021. A bitch don't give a damn about that. Bitches is listening to Meg Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, and the rest of these funky Instagram hoes talk about or how if a nigga ain't got no money that a nigga can't fuck with them. That's all a bitch, every goddamn song. It go on Instagram. All these bitches talking about how good they pussy is, how good they suck dick, and how a nigga better have some money to fuck with them. That's all these bitches. That's it. These hoes is prostitutes. Musical prostitutes is what these hoes is.
And it's something where, you know, I think that
you got these goofy rappers, they fall in love and impregnate them. Cold part about it, because even the dudes back then, they'll.
Kanye made that shit cool. Kanye made that shit cool. Look, wife and hoes.
Well, it was wild, man, because, I mean, when you look at where he was dating Amber Rose, and then, you know.
Wife and hoes. Wife and hoes, my nigga. He made it cool because he was at the top of the game, and since Kanye did it, it was all right. Before you, come on, my nigga. I'm an old nigga. Nigga tricking and falling in love with hoes was frowned upon, my nigga. That wasn't no player shit. Niggas changed the narrative through hip hop. Hip hop is a powerful tool, man, and they know it. Through hip hop, you can make whatever narrative. If Drake come out wearing a potato sack, motherfuckers will be like, man, that nigga wearing the shit out that potato sack. And they'll start selling niggas potato sacks.
That is the perfect segue, Snack. Nigga, you just on point with it because you know where King knows where I'm about to go with what you just said about what niggas be wearing. King, that's
the feminization of these niggas.
My partner just showed me a picture of Usher day for yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that nigga had on. I don't know what the fuck wrong with Usher. I attribute that to his career, he ain't as hot and he ain't as relevant as he used to be, so he just doing some shit to get some attention and get some lights flashing his way, man. I attribute it to that because
I won't go that far in terms of he's not.
No, my nigga, you man, these niggas be addicted to fame, man. Fame is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas will do anything, motherfucker. Clout right now, motherfuckers will do anything for clout. A bitch just put Gorilla Glue in her hair, my nigga.
Yeah, now that was good. And then she mad.
Niggas will do anything for clout right now, man. These niggas is crazy, man. Niggas will do anything to get 5 seconds of motherfuckers talking about them and going viral on Instagram and Twitter and shit, man. This shit is crazy, man. These niggas is fucking retarded.
Dude dressing in drag. That's that dude that came. This is the first video that I had introduced to you when that dude, he went ahead and kicked, he put a cheerleader outfit on.
Niggas, they're out of control, man. You know these niggas, hey, man. You got to give these niggas all the space they want and need, my nigga. Real shit.
In terms of where people do things for attention and everything else, because the Usher outfit was just, because Usher to me, in terms of what he's been able to do over the years, still making good music.
That nigga, that looked like he took my mama curtains, nigga. Took her curtains and
like,
just wrapped them around.
Dude, I'm like, I know we might get. I know in all of the controversy, you know, but on off the cuff, we're built for it. The situation, because of course, Lil Nas X with the video he did.
I didn't even watch that shit, my nigga. I just that nigga a whole other type of nigga. That nigga put booty on the devil, nigga.
But I wanted to get your opinion of that, Pat, just from the perspective of the position he took with it, because he started going out online, just railing, talking about, well, I hope y'all, you know, stay mad because y'all teach gay people to hate themselves. I'm like, dude, I'm like, nobody's telling you to hate yourself. I'm like, if you want to live that, that's not my lifestyle, but no one's telling you you can't live it. But it's like his thing was, he just want, like you said, Snack, niggas will do anything to bring attention to themselves. But my thing is, at the end of it, it's like, okay, you did it. You made a video that you knew was going to bring controversy, and that's, you did what you did. But it's like, at the end of it,
what's next?
And I mean, he got on Saturday Night Live, but okay, if we really break it down, because we said on Off the Cuff, we have no issues with the transgender or gay community, in terms of humanity, we love everybody. That's not our lifestyle in terms of what we do in our personal lives, but we don't bash anyone for their personal life choices. And when I look at Lil Nas X, my thing is, dude, your life is your life. You got to live your life the way you want, but it's like, you don't necessarily,
they don't have artistic creativity to really make their music do the talking. So that's why they got to do the antics.
Well, the reality is, King and Smack, I think it's also, too, and what King said is on point, I think it's also the situation where he's going to have a limited audience because he's gay. We are not in that place in hip-hop culture where you're going to see the hetero crowd, and at least in hip-hop music. Now, in other genres of music, where you've had openly gay artists,
man,
like Elton John, George Michael.
These niggas. Yeah, but these niggas been pushing that gay shit in hip-hop for the long.
Mm-hmm.
Young Thug
right.
doing shit, and, several niggas, they, on some suspicious shit. So, at the end of the day, it's just like he just said, my nigga, if the music gonna speak for itself, my nigga. Niggas,
right.
If you make some good music, my nigga, ain't none of that. Don't nobody give a damn about none of that shit. If you make some good music, my nigga, make some good music. A nigga, if you make a hot-ass song, and as long as you ain't talking about no gay-ass shit in a song, a nigga ain't gonna be like, oh, that's that gay-ass nigga right there. A nigga gonna be like, oh, that's the jam. But if you in the song talking about sucking dick and all this here shit, that's why I don't want to, what the fuck I look like riding around listening to Meg the Stallion. I was up at the gas station. This nigga hopped out jamming Cardi B, and this nigga here was chanting the lyrics loud than the mother. I was like, hold up, my nigga.
Wait a minute.
And I said, hey, man, what the fuck is going on right here, my nigga? The nigga hopped out the car and said it like macho, like, I want you to touch that little thing. Hey, man, what the fuck just happened? You know what I'm talking about? I ain't know where the fuck I was. Hold up, my nigga, this shit here. Damn, nigga, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And said it like, and walked with a gangster strut with it. And, I done been to the penitentiary five times, so I wouldn't put it past a nigga. Yeah, I would, But, hey, man. I'm not going to ride around listening to that bullshit. That hoe, If I'm with a hoe and that's what she want to hear, cool. But I, by my motherfucking self, hell no. Nah.
Now switch gears for a minute. This is where I want to, going back to you for a minute. Now, how did you come up with the term of cake ass nigga? Now, is that a term y'all use in Texas, or that's something you came up with?
Some motherfuckers from Duval told me that they said down there too, but it came about from one of my partners in 97. We had a trap spot, and we used to be in that bitch gambling all the time. And one of my partners burnt dice, and them niggas went to arguing back and forth. And Spark Plug, may he rest in peace, he called that nigga cake ass nigga, and we all got quiet and bust out laughing. It just became a term that stuck amongst us as a clique and as family. That's just where it comes from. That was 97, like early 97, because my baby mama was still pregnant. Me and his baby mama was pregnant.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was around. Go ahead.
That terminology, it brings, it mixes the truth with the humor, and that's what makes your videos, stand out. You know how to mix the humor with the truth. And that's kind of hard to do. And at the same time, gaining the audience without really making a lot of people angry.
Nah, them niggas, it be niggas that be mad in them motherfucking niggas. Because, you know, if you go, you could do your, you could do your analytics. You can go look at your analytics on Instagram, nigga. I lose just as many motherfuckers as motherfuckers follow me on a daily. Like, if I didn't never lose none of my audience, nigga, I'd probably be, like, if not at a million followers now, but I lose just as much in a day as I gain. Because, motherfucker, I be running niggas hot on the daily. Motherfuckers be mad at me, nigga. I don't, you know. And I don't know what the fuck for.
You know, but one thing about it, Snack, is that for the level of a real you bring is something that it makes people have to really understand that it is life. And you're an observer of it. You're an astute academic of existence, and you just see things and you just call it out for what it is. And for that level of candor you commentate on, a lot of people are not ready for, because it's the level of where they have to look at themselves in terms of their actions and then realize in the world that they live in and then seeing how accurate what you say is. The truth defends itself. Rest in peace to Paul Mooney when he did the, if you haven't seen it, and I'll tell our listeners, if you haven't seen the Showtime documentary, Richard Pryor, Omit the Logic.
You know, nigga, I got that saved right now in my TV, nigga. I love Omit the Logic.
Yeah, man, and when Richard went on that crazy, when Richard, you know, had that, when he was doing that benefit, and he, you know,
yeah, he said, I suck dick.
yeah.
Richard was that a motherfucker and did throw kiss my ass.
Yeah, that story, for those that know, and that's a wild story, that's for another day, but Richard did do some other shit. But
They said he fucked him and Marlon Brando supposed to have fucked around.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, and that fucks me up, because Marlon Brando is the godfather, nigga. And Richard Pryor is a comedy god, nigga. But goddamn, what the fuck is y'all got going on in Hollywood? Y'all fucked up.
Well, we'll get back to that in a second, because, I guess I can, you know, squeeze that in saying it, that everybody talks about how there's this stuff going on. I'm like, nigga, the gay shit in Hollywood, that's not new. That shit's been going on.
It's far from new. It's far from new. It's just that we motherfuckers hold motherfuckers in shirt. That's like the bitches be in Hollywood. Them hoes is hoes. Nigga, you hear about motherfuckers like Rihanna fucking this nigga, that nigga, this nigga. You know, they just a motherfucker with money and that you know about, but that don't change them from being just like any hoe in the hood.
Yeah, they just got to be whatchamacallit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they just famous. Yeah.
And what you had with, Mooney was talking about how, you know, but everybody, you know, he's like, and when Richard started going off, he's like, you know, you could hear a mouse pissing on cotton.
Yeah, piss
like
on cotton.
In Georgia. He's like, it was the truth, and I always remember this when he said it. He said the truth defends itself, you know, and the fact is that what you say is real. But the thing is, people don't always like the idea of it. People can know the truth, but when it's articulated and said out loud, the cover is like it's never been, never necessarily been covered. It's just, it's spoken out of what already.
And then how I said, I'm real brass, brazen, and unapologetic with my delivery. So that also, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think, it's just rare to find. I think that's where a lot of people gravitate towards you, is because so many cats, man, when they make a statement, they just so quick to bow down, man, but yet they get real tough and around their people. But when they start really saying real things, come in on certain issues, all of a sudden they just start, you know, falling apart, start sending apologies and going on apology tours. It's just a sad sight.
Yeah, nigga, I ain't apologizing for a bitch ass thing, nigga. Fuck you and your ass. You ain't got the like cake ass, nigga. I don't give a fuck. I ain't apologizing for shit I say, because I meant it, and it was clear, it was concise, and it was thought out. I don't just do shit just to do it, and I don't say it just to say it. I meant it, and I stand on it. I don't give a fuck. If you ain't got to like me, You ain't never put no motherfucking money on my books when I was in the penitentiary. Fuck you in your ass, bitch ass nigga. You ain't got to like me. I ain't asked you to come over to my motherfucking page fucking with me no way, K-God. Shit. On some real nigga shit.
One thing about I would tell anybody, smoke with snack water, you're going to get, you're either going to get asphyxiated or you're going to get drowned or get both at the same time. Like, you know, so I tell people, like, you are not the person people want to go at, either because they disagree with you or just because they're saying, you know, well, what, this ain't true. I'm like, or they can know it's true and they just disagree. But I'm like, you are not the guy people really want to go at with in terms of trying to get into a shoot match with words. I'm like, we got your money.
I really don't never go back and forth with niggas. I don't go back and forth with niggas like that anyway, my nigga. Like, that ain't what I do, my nigga, because I don't.
Right.
I was raised around a whole bunch of gangsters and all that. Going back and forth, shit, that shit escalates and that shit lead to some other shit. I say what I say. If you want to respond and say, sometimes I might respond to a nigga in a comment when it's a teachable moment that could be applied.
Right.
But if it's just me just saying fuck you or something, nah, I'm not gonna do all that. But if I could clarify and teach and make something like make a poignant effort at informing you about some shit, then yeah, I'll reply. But on average I don't even read the comments and I damn sure don't reply a lot of the 99.9% of the time, you know. I let motherfuckers say what they say and feel how they want to feel.
But one thing about it too, Snack, is you have that discipline, because a lot of times niggas really don't understand words have power. And once, you know, I'm not saying I'm the hardest nigga out there, but I'm not one of them niggas that I can walk away from a lot of shit. But there is going to be those times where I've dealt with niggas where it's like, if I don't say anything and I look at you and I approach you, nigga, we finna handle it right then and there. So I know how I have to keep myself in check at times.
Peer pressure,
but you
too.
Being a, you know, because one thing about it is,
it's peer pressure.
That, you know,
a lot of that's peer pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure from comments, because niggas in the comments can instigate a lot of shit.
Yeah, they can. They can. And niggas got to understand, man, it's not a punk move to walk away. You know, if you can, you know, now the nigga put hands on you, you got to handle it, you handle it. But a lot of times, too, you know, there's also a situation of this ain't the movies, my nigga. It's like, you know, shit really happens in real life. If you get into a fighting with someone, you catch an assault case, or you shoot someone, you know, you looking to go into prison behind that shit, it's serious. And a lot of times these dudes really don't understand the ramifications of it. If there's one thing, especially with what's going on in hip-hop culture, where a lot of these dudes get a call on each other, well, not even so much hip-hop, just on the internet, just these social media people in general, where they get out there saying crazy stuff, talking about how they want smoke and cash in a fade with somebody, because we hear so many niggas talk about, yeah, niggas see me in the street, we gonna throw hands. I'm like, me and King be like, nigga, you not gonna do that shit in the street for real?
Yeah, these niggas.
I'm like, niggas be killing me talking about.
You see that one nigga who they just gave a fed case to because they seen the nigga on Instagram with guns and shit. The nigga just got out of penitentiary on parole and shit. One of them rap niggas that was last week, and now the nigga got a fed case because he was on Instagram live or some shit with guns and. With drugs and shit. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with these niggas, man. These niggas is crazy as fuck.
Yeah,
these niggas just turning themselves over to the law.
Yeah, and the thing is, the emphasis of what's trying to be real is, you know, real is taking care of you and your loved ones. Real is staying out of trouble. And a lot of times we see a lot of these individuals get in situations that is beyond their intellect or their comprehension. In terms,
my mama always
said,
my mama always said it's a thin line between keeping it real and keeping it real dumb.
Oh, yeah, your mom's a wise woman for that.
Yeah,
she birthed a wise son, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a monkey nigga, too.
Yeah, but
she a monkey.
But a lot of, But he's got to understand, too, that at the end of the day, one thing about it, Smack, we've always respected about you being online is that you say things about, you say what's on your mind, but you're not somebody that does it from an intention. You make observations, but you're not purposefully trying to infuriate. Now, people may get mad, but the reality is, it's like you're just speaking the truth. But you got a lot of these niggas out here to get online, and they say shit purposefully to try to start some shit. Then they get mad, or they wonder why stuff happens. And I'm like, why are you going to get mad and you deliberately put stuff out there for people to get mad at you for, in terms of you provoke people on purpose? And then they be like, I'm like, people got to understand, man, when you get out there and you say things, like you said, you got to stand on it. You know, if you know something is controversial in the context of it doesn't need to be said, but you just want to get people mad, it probably shouldn't need to be said. What you say on
now
yours.
Now they can only do that when they know they ain't being approached.
Yeah. But, you know.
Because that's how the game got lopsided anyway. Because we talked about this last time. Like, nobody can really catch discipline no more.
Right. And that is something that, I wish death on nobody. But I would tell a lot of these dudes out here, don't put stuff out there, you know, just trying to rile people up on purpose where you think nobody's going to say something to you. I'm like, you go out insulting people on purpose, you know, and then all that. Yeah, I'm like, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we've seen rappers, you know, only reason I can speak on it is because we know what happened. I mean, that situation with Lil JoJo and Chief Keef, and look how that ended up. You know, and JoJo got smoked down the street like what, 3-4 hours after him and Keef had a thing on Twitter. It's like shit is real, and I'm like, certain people, you know, we're not saying Keef had anything to do with it, but
you don't have moderators.
Yeah,
that's the main issues is that
these niggas ain't trying to talk about nothing, man. These niggas just trying to be seen. And niggas just, I don't know, man. Niggas just seem like they just really just want to be talked about and want to be the, more or less the center of the conversation, whether they killing or dying, nigga. They don't, you know, shit, I don't know, man. But, man,
but,
it's
you know,
been real,
back,
man. I got to wrap it up in a little bit, man.
Yeah, I was asking before you leave, man. You care to tell us when you're going to be having your first video out?
Oh, first video coming out June 12th, the same day of the album release. It's the first song on the album called Fresh Out of Fucks. I shot the video. My nigga Orbit did it. Orbit, he shot it, and him and the Nucleus, and it should be ready June 12th. The same day the album come out, and it's a nice video because I like doing videos that, just like my music got substance, I like doing videos. Like, I ain't finna have no video with 100 niggas standing around me mugging the camera with guns and shit like that. That shit, that's so lame to me. So the video
Orbit's part of Super Geniuses, isn't he? Orbit did part of Super Geniuses. Okay, because I'm thinking of another video crew to Super Geniuses. But yeah, but I've heard of Orbit did it too. But he's dope.
He might have done something with him. I don't know. But Orbit, out of Houston, he left Houston, went up to Atlanta, and built up his name and popularity and his demand. And then he came back home and he been doing a bunch of work down here and showing a bunch of love. The artist down here, he done shot several of my videos, but this video here, everybody gonna enjoy it, man. It's a great video, man. Great concept, and it's a nice video. You know what I'm saying? It's entertaining.
That's what it is, man.
And you care to tell people where they can find you on your social media platforms and your website
Best place, my website is smackwaterworld.com, and the best place to find me is on Instagram, smackwater790, or smackwater_RNOTG, realest nigga on the gram. That's my backup page.
Definitely. We know you got to get going, Smack. Once again, part two, we done with you. Once again, we're so privileged. We're so honored. Thank you again so much, man, for the wisdom, the humor, you know, the wild-ass stories.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all too, man, for giving me, for sharing y'all platform with me, for chopping it up with me, man, and you know, discussing a whole bunch of shit of substance, you know, just not no fluff and bullshit.
Definitely, man. Look, you know, you're always welcome back. You know, can't wait to have you back on again. You know, when you talk about, you know, what Adopted album's release and just how everything's been moving with it. So, yeah, man. So, once again, you know, we thank you so much.
Yeah, man. I so appreciate it.
Definitely. And King,
I guess. We're going to definitely keep in touch, bro. So, be sure to check out that album, that double album. Be sure to check the video
songs
out
on the
12th.
Yeah, songs in today's Kill Life.
Yep.
Yes. And follow, and don't report them. Cake ass, nigga.
Too much like right.
So on that note, we out of here, man. Good looking out on joining us, bro.
Already, yeah. Man. Appreciate y'all.
Definitely, man.
All right,
back
man.
At you.
Already, 100.
Yep.